Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday evening at this time. Last week we were talking about the law of God and how that today we're not under the law of Moses, but we're under the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:21 teaches we're under the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 teaches we're under the law of Christ. As a matter of fact, it's axiomatic that we are if God tells us how he wants us to live, what he wants us to do, and what he wants us not to do. For example, do not commit fornication. That's in the New Testament law. That's in the New Testament, and therefore that is a law because God is telling us something to do or not to do. We had a caller make an astute comment. He said, Pat, you're right, we're under law. And if we're under law, God's law today, that means that once saved, always saved, and salvation by faith only are both wrong. And he's exactly right. We had a couple of callers then come in after that. They had heard what the fellow had said, that if we're under God's law, that once saved, always saved is not true. And they called in to try to argue their case for once saved, always saved. Or many times it's put this way, a Christian cannot fall from grace. But we pointed out last week, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, as a little boy, and most of us little boys did this, we climbed trees. And sometimes we fell out of trees. You know, you can't fall from a tree unless you were in the tree to start with. This verse is saying that these people had fallen from grace. They could not fall from grace unless they were in grace to begin with. So they were in grace, in God's grace. Of course, that would mean saved from their sins by God's grace. And they fell from grace, out of God's grace. This passage then proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that a Christian can fall from grace, even though many preachers say that you can't. They say you can't fall from grace. This verse says ye are fallen from grace. Who are you going to believe? Those preachers, or are you going to believe God? Because this is what God said. Now, I have this quote from a Baptist preacher named Sam Morris, and he preached for the First Baptist Church in Stamford, Texas. I think this quote, he probably wrote this in the 1940s, so I'm not sure if he's still alive. But this quote shows you the logical conclusion of this doctrine that a Christian cannot fall from grace, or once saved, always saved. Here's what Mr. Morris said. He says, a Christian's sins do not condemn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. All the prayers a man may pray, all the Bibles he may read, all the churches he may belong to, all the services he may attend, all the sermons he may practice, all the debts he may pay, all the ordinances he may observe, all the laws he may keep, all the benevolent acts he may perform will not make his soul one whit safer. And all the sins he may commit from idolatry to murder will not make his soul in any more danger. Can you imagine that? But that's the logical end of this once saved, always saved doctrine. That it doesn't matter how many good deeds you do, that won't make your soul safer. Or it doesn't matter how many sins that you commit, from idolatry to murder. And I could add to that, considering our environment today that wasn't around in the 1940s, even a person who was saved and then became a homosexual could be saved according to this doctrine. Mr. Marr says all the sins he may commit, that would include homosexuality, that he may commit from idolatry to murder will not make his soul in any more danger. That's the logical conclusion of this doctrine, and the Bible will have none of it. Galatians 5:4 says, "Ye are fallen from grace." I don't know what God would have to say that could be any more clear than that if He wanted to teach that a Christian could lose his salvation if he didn't follow the Lord faithfully, that a Christian can fall from grace. He says, "Ye are fallen from grace." How could you make it any plainer than that? Next, I'm turning to James 5:19 and 20. It says, "Brethren," so he's talking to Christians here, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Now notice, this is talking about our responsibility. If we see a brother in Christ, a Christian, err from the truth, this is saying it's our responsibility to try to convert him back. And if we do convert him back, if we're able to convert him back, this verse says we'll save his soul from death. What does that imply about a brother in Christ, a Christian, who errs from the truth and we're not able to convert him back? That implies necessarily that his soul will die. He'll be lost. So he was once a brother in Christ, once saved, he erred from the truth, nobody was able to win him back, and so his soul died. Again, it's very clear, this doctrine of once saved, always saved, that a Christian can't fall from grace is absolutely false. If you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other Bible topic, call us at 1-877-655-6755. That's 1-877-655-6755. You know, I talked to a good number of people who believe once saved, always saved. And some of them believe like Mr. Marsh. But then you have some of the Calvinists that will say, "Well, no, I don't think a person could live like that and still be saved. But if a person lives like that, that proves they were never saved to begin with." So many of the Calvinist positions are that, well, that if you become a Christian, you will live right, that a Christian never turns away from God. But that's not true either. One of the clearest passages to point that out is Hebrews 3, verses 1 and 12. First, let me read verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now, this is talking to brethren, holy brethren, brethren who were partakers of the heavenly calling. And so if we're talking to brethren here, we're talking to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So it's certainly talking about Christians here. And in verse 12 he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So it's not true that if a person becomes a Christian, he can't depart from God. This verse specifically warns brethren, Christians, those who are partakers of the heavenly calling, that they could become unbelievers and depart from the living God. And what's the conclusion if they do? If a Christian does depart from God, according to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, well, John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So as long as we believe in the Son and act accordingly, we'll have everlasting life. But if we're a believer and we quit being a believer, John 3:36 says, "The ones that believe not shall not see life." So if we depart from God, Hebrews 3:12, we will not see life, according to John 3:36. We used to be a believer, but we quit being a believer, so we're not a believer anymore. The verse says we will not see life. Texas, Mr. Steve, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I just had a comment I'd like to make on what you were talking about. I'll try and be brief. I got baptized and everything back around 1999, something like that, and got saved from, you know, drug addiction, and just I was in real bad shape. And I walked with the Lord and was very, very obedient. And I backslid around 2003 or something like that, and real maybe a little bit later than that. And I got in an accident, and they were treating me with strong dose of those painkillers, and I got dependent upon those painkillers. And my conscience was bothering me real bad, but I was pretty much dependent on the hook on those painkillers. And I say all that to say this. God was convicting me and convicting me that I should stop, and I didn't want to stop. And I could just feel my faith getting weaker, and my prayers weren't going past the ceiling and everything. And so I hate to admit it, but I tend to agree with you because I felt the Spirit departing from me, for lack of a better way to put it. And I could just tell that, all my joy was gone, and it, the life and the peace and everything that I had, and I could tell that my desire to pray and get into the Word started waning. And my wife told me, she said, "Man, you're a miserable person. You know, you're just not even the same person. You know, you need to stop this." And with a lot of prayer and a lot of suffering through it, I got through it. And I'm back on track now. But I feel like the Lord says I'll never forsake you. So he didn't give up on me. It was like I was giving up on him. And I really, much as I hate to say it, as scary as it may sound to some people, you can't lose your salvation, but it's like you can give it back, you know. Does that make?
Oh, yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. God doesn't, in effect, he never takes your salvation. It's you voluntarily give it up. And Steve, I want to take off from something you said. David, you remember David was a man after God's own heart, but even he sinned. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband murdered. In Psalms 51, verse 11, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And so you're right. We lose the Holy Spirit when we lose our salvation. Steve, you have any... I don't know if you can feel it or not, but it certainly the Bible talks about it happening. You have any more follow-up, Steve?
I just wanted to say, if you're truly saved, you'll know it. And if you start to lose that salvation, you will know it.
Thank you for your call, Steve. Thank you for your call. And so, of course, if Steve's story were really true, if it is true, and then James 5, 19 and 20 would fit him. That he said he was a Christian. He erred from the truth, and if he really came back to the Lord, then his soul was saved from death, which would mean that he was lost during that time. You know, another passage that's clear on this issue is Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Now, most of you, or many of you, know that the book of life is mentioned 6 or 8 or perhaps 10 times in the Bible. The book of life is like a list of the names of all the saved people. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. That is 877-655-6755. A list of the names of all the saved people, so that when a person becomes a Christian, when he's saved, his name is put in that book. Now let's read Revelation 3:5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." You see the point? If we overcome temptation, persecution, whatever this is talking about, God will not blot our name out, but out of the book of life. But what does that imply about people who don't overcome temptation? God will blot their name out. That means if their name was in there to start with, that means they were saved. And then if God blots them out, that means they're not saved any longer. And so God put us in the book of life, and then he blotted us out if we don't overcome temptation. Once saved, always saved is just not true. Not only is it not true, it encourages people to live, people who are supposed to be Christians, to live immoral lifestyles. For example, if a preacher tells his the people in his congregation that they can live any old way they want to and still go to heaven anyway, how are many of his listeners likely to live? If you tell them you can live any old way you want to and still be saved, they're likely to live any old way they want to. And so it encourages an immoral lifestyle. You know, Paul is the most famous preacher, aside from Jesus Christ, of course, and he recognized the fact that even he could lose his salvation. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." A castaway is like when you're on a ship. The analogy is you're thrown off the ship. There, in this case, you're thrown away from salvation. This word castaway is translated reprobate most of the time in the Bible, meaning without God and without hope of salvation. Paul said that I have to keep my body under subjection lest I become a reprobate without God and without hope of salvation. This is a preacher of the gospel. If he could be lost, if he could lose his salvation, certainly any of us can. Roger from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Oh, just a comment. And my dealings with people, I'm a part-time chaplain and I'm also a truck driver. I find the problem really with the issue you're talking about, and with many issues, is the fact that they have presuppositions, they have ideas, and they're more married to the idea than they are the acceptance of Scripture. And anytime you deal with theology in relation to God's Word, the Bible tells us we have to rightly divide the Word of God. What does that mean? I mean, there's going to be sometimes ideas and things that we're going to disagree on, but are we disagreeing because of the construction of God's Word or because of our presuppositions?
So yes, that's so true.
What's that?
I said that's so true.
Yeah, and I think the real problem sometimes is with people is I think you need to back up and say, okay, let's look at this objectively, not from the idea that you've decided something, because anytime you come up with something, you have to ask yourself, is there any scripture that comes up against this theology, and am I just trying to throw away the scripture because of my theology, or am I trying to look at this truth of God's Word?
Thank you for your call, Roger. Appreciate it a whole lot. Steve from Wisconsin, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
And thanks for taking the call. My question would be that if a saved person walks away from their salvation, aren't they doing the unpardonable sin and grieving away the Holy Spirit? In which case, is there any hope for them or is hope lost at that point?
No, if you read Matthew 12, 31 and 32, the unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. In other words, if somebody is doing a miracle, attributing that miracle to the power of the devil. So a person can fall away from God, become an unbeliever, just fall into the worldly ways again, lose his salvation, but he can still be brought back. For example, we read James 5, 19 and 20, Steve. It said, brethren,
right.
If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner, now that person used to be a brother in Christ, now he's a sinner. If you convert the sinner from the error of his way, you'll save a soul from death. So if he's not converted back, his soul will die. But it's possible to convert him back so that his soul won't die. Do you see how this passage directly answers your point, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know that question was on thousands of people's minds. You know, it's just...
Uh-huh.
You know, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, there's only one unpardonable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But there are a lot of sins that a person can fall into. A person could fall into adultery. A Christian could fall into homosexuality. A Christian mm-hmm. could even become a murderer. All of these different types of sins that a Christian could fall into, it's possible, I mean, not that he should, he can repent of, change. He can even change from being a homosexual, by the way. He can change and quit those sins and come back right. to God and be back into a saved relationship with God. Any follow-up, Steve?
Yeah, I'm understood. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. And so, we actually have an example of a person who believed and was baptized, Simon the Sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8, verse 13, tried to buy the gift of God with money, And he lost his salvation. We know that because Peter told him in Acts 8, 22 and 23, to repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So Simon was saved according to Acts 8, 12 and 13. He committed sin. Peter told him, you better repent because now you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So this is an example, Simon the sorcerer, of somebody who became a Christian, who sinned in such a way he lost his salvation. Peter told him to repent and he could be forgiven. And that's what any Christian needs to do who loses his salvation. He needs to repent of his sins, come back to God. I think we all know people who used to be a Christian or at least claimed to be a believer. And they were living a life as a believer should be expected to live, a Christian should be expected to live, but then they went back into the world. Well, are they saved or lost? Well, they're just like they were if they had never become a Christian to begin with. And we can see that in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. It's talking about a person who becomes a Christian, but he goes back and lives the ways of the world. He is worse off than he was if he had never become a Christian to begin with. Let me read 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, now don't be misled by this word pollutions in the King James. The footnote says sins. This is not talking about smog in Los Angeles. It's talking about pollutions of the world, sins. It says, if they've escaped the sins or pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that can only be talking about a Christian. Only a Christian escapes the sins of the world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says, if they do that, and then they are again entangled therein, that means back into the sins of the world, and overcome, the latter end was worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, the pig, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And so it's saying, a person that escapes sin through the knowledge of Christ, a Christian, but goes entangled back into the sins of the world, it's worse for them than in the beginning. It's worse for them than if they'd never become a Christian to begin with. They lose their salvation. Analogy is made to a pig. And I don't know why anybody would want to wash a pig, but the analogy is made, here comes a pig that's all muddy from the mud, and you wash him off, and then he goes back to the mud. That's what it's like when a Christian goes back into the sins of the world. Obviously, he became a Christian. The mud here represents sin. The mud was washed off. The sin was washed off. He became a Christian, but he went back into the mud, back into sin. Now, the Calvinists say that a Christian can't go back into sin, but this analogy proves that he can, and this text proves that he loses his salvation. Perhaps you'd like to talk about this further. We're going to have to go off the air, but if you'd like to talk about this further, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Perhaps you would like to do a Bible correspondence course through the mail to learn the Bible through the mail free of charge at your own pace. Request that course at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Appreciate you listening this evening. Be sure and listen next week at this same time.